think we'll have the announcements and then we'll have the prelude. Good morning. Is there any announcements for our congregation today? I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's good to be back with you. We look forward to many of the things that are going on. And summer is here, and there's some newsletters circulating, some information there on the back of your bulletin as well. And you can see our schedule coming up. Any questions or... Yes, good reading there from the BRF. Feel free to pick up one of those copies on your way out.
It's a pleasure having you back, Brother Joseph.
Thank you, Frank. Others? Let us begin our worship, and we'll do so with the prelude. The call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with sound resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We get a chance to praise the Lord as we join together in song, and we'll be singing our hymn number 401. Please join me as we sing.
Praise God, praise sinless as He. may be seated.
We want to take time to pray together. One of the important things that we do as Christians, and to share our joys and concerns with the congregation. And so what is on your heart today that you would like for the congregation to know and to be in prayer about? Wanda? Thank you.
Keep Roddy in your prayers. He finally got the date this week for his two heart surgeries. It's going to be July 10th. Okay.
Prayers for Ronnie and see he's facing surgery. Faye, first.
I have a joy. I got my first granddaughter this week, and I'm very blessed and very happy about that. Great. We have something to smile about.
And.
Continue prayers
with
Debbie and Ricky
mm-hmm.
and our whole family. Travis.
Prayers for the Baker family. Bob in the back.
Yeah, one of the prayers for our country and its leadership. And also, Tracy, it's God bless you and your full fulfillment for our church here and your ministry. And Sister Pat came with us and all this fine group to come out here this morning. What a nice group.
Praise God. Amen. Sister
Deb. I just want to give thanks for the rain. Mm-hmm. I kept thanking him all night last night, and then first thing this morning, I'm just so thankful that he sent us showers of blessings. And I'd like to keep, I don't know if many might not know him here, but Kenny Beal, he used to play with a bluegrass band. But anyway, he asked for prayers. He's having open heart surgery tomorrow. So please keep Kenny, Bill, and Sherry in your prayers.
Okay, thank you. Surgery tomorrow?
Yes.
Frank.
I'm going to continue to keep my wife on prayers. Also, I want to bring peace, love, and compassion to the world. The issue over there where Israel is and the surrounding countries really needs to come to the Lord and bring peace, love, and harmony.
Thank you.
Pastor Tracy, I'd yes, like to keep my co-worker Linda on the prayer list. She found out she has double breast cancer.
Okay.
And my daughter and her family, and some unspoken requests.
Okay. As we come to the Lord in prayer, I invite you to do so how you feel comfortable, kneel or close your eyes and bow your head, and let's give God that which is on our hearts and minds this morning. Father God, we are mindful that we are truly blessed, and we just thank you, Lord, for your many blessings to us. We thank you, before we forget, for the offering, Lord. We're just grateful for the many ways that your people support this congregation and the body of Christ around the world. And so we pray, Lord, you would use these funds for better use of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to those that need. And so, Lord, would you just show yourself strong, not only in our finances, but also here in these prayer requests that have been mentioned this morning. We think of those that are grieving. We pray that you be with the Stillman family. We pray that you be with those who are facing upcoming surgeries. And so, Lord, just pray for Kenny. We pray for Ronnie. We ask, Lord, that you would be with Jackie as she has knee surgery. Brother Sam, Lord, we pray you would improve his voice. We ask, Lord, that you would just continue to move in the hearts and minds of our loved ones, our family members, in our country, Lord. We pray, Father, for peace. Lord, you know how important an issue this is for the brethren. And we know there are so many places in our world today that are in turmoil, that are in strife, civil war, war that's inflicted on others, all kinds of crimes committed against humanity. Lord, would you intervene? Would you move? Prince of Peace, come, bring peace. We ask, Lord, you would continue to bless those that are in need, who are hungry. We pray you would provide their daily bread. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort those who are sad. And we thank you, Lord, for the rain that you brought. Understand, about 3 inches. Lord, it was getting dry, so we thank you for the farmers and for their crops. We pray that there would be a bounty this fall. Lord, we are mindful of the things that are unspoken. Perhaps those are even more closer to our hearts. And so we just bring those before your throne of grace this morning. Lord, you know each one even before we speak it. And so we pray that your will be done in those situations. We lift up those loved ones to your throne of grace. We pray for those that need to know you as Lord and Savior. And God, we just ask that you would help us as we live, as we go about our work this coming week. Help us to be good examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to love and to share the truth with those around us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to ask that we just take a moment here to pray the Lord's Prayer. And I pause just for a second because we want to, you know, so often we just kind of say that repetition. And it is a very special prayer. And I think the Lord gave us one that's very inclusive. And so why don't we just take a moment to share together, specifically apart from our other prayers, and pray the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught us. And so let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to join me in singing number 480.
Pastures lead us, for our years thy multitude.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you, Deb. The scripture I've chosen for today, it comes from Proverbs 16. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Would you pause with me for prayer? Lord, would you bless the words of our mouth and thoughts of our minds and hearts? Would your Holy Spirit come and have your way? Illuminate the scriptures for us and apply them to our hearts this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, time flies, doesn't it? It's been 2 years since I've officially served as your pastor, stepping down in May, and time really seems to move on very quickly. I remember my parents saying it gets faster each year. It seems like the calendar goes by quicker and quicker. When we were kids, it took forever for Christmas to come, and now it's like it's Christmas again. May and June have come and gone. July is just before us. Another school year is over, graduations are completed, the summer has begun. We just want to pause for a moment to look back to see how far we've come and maybe try and plot a path forward. New paths are not always easy to see, not always clear, but we try to follow a path, whether it's known. And sometimes the adventure can be exciting and sometimes a bit scary. A favorite verse that we like to share with graduates at this time of the year is Solomon's classic counsel. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I've been thinking a lot about paths and plans lately. Came across this little card as I was working in I've kept it on my scanner at work for a number of weeks, and it's the scripture that I picked for today. It is Proverbs 16:9, and in the NIV it says, "In their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." In the New King James it puts it this way: it says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." A plan, a path, it's not always easily seen. Webster defines path this way. It says, a narrow way or trail, especially one formed by frequent passage of people or animals. It reminds me that in the summertime on the farm, we used to see a dirt path going through the pasture. The cows always kind of like to follow each other out to the green pastures, and then they would come back into the barn to get a drink of water, and as the grass grew, they still could see this windy path through the pasture. A path, a trail, a narrow way. Paths in computers is a proper sequence of for executing a routine. I think Maxine probably knows a little bit about that. A path can be a narrow way, especially constructed like for in a garden. Understand in England that there is many excellent gardens and they have these beautiful paths and places that you can walk and enjoy nature. A path can also be a way when space is made, like when a police try to clear a path for a crowd to go through. A path can also be for a planet in space. Our Earth follows a path, and we get 365 days a year from it. A path can be a line of progress through life. And this kind of path, I think, is more easily seen as we look back and see how far we've come. And we might see some forks in the road. And, well, we went this way, and we could have went that way. Paths in life. How far have you come? What path are you on? In addition, Webster defines the word plan as a proposed or intended course of an action, a detailed diagram, a design for a building, a city, or a garden. Our scripture that I chose for today is this, understanding this verse here in Proverbs. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. I thought about Pastor Ed. I'm sure that he had planned to be around here a little bit longer than just a year. I had planned on working for a few more years. I still do. Hopefully I can reach full retirement age. As some of you know, and a couple of gave me cards today, I'm turning 65 this week. So I've been thinking a lot about that. And hoping that the Lord will give me good health and I can continue to working for a few more years. And so my plan was that after full retirement from my job at Engage, that I might be able to come back and serve in some way here at Monocacy again part-time. Hadn't planned on coming back so soon. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to share again. Brother Sam and I planned to share the responsibility, and we look forward to working together. We didn't plan on his health issues that would prevent him from sharing and speaking. And hopefully things will go well for him, and he'll be able to serve with me here later this fall. Deb planned then, in the meantime, as you can see on the back of your bulletin, the schedule for July and August. And that will be with Pastor Larry and myself taking turns. We make plans, and we probably should, but really, it's still up to the Lord, right? It's up to the Lord to direct those plans. We try to make plans that will fulfill His will, plans that are in accordance with His plan, and plans that will give God the glory. And as we do so, He'll establish our steps. Things can turn around. Things can change in a moment. Plans are good, but we need the Lord's blessing. We need the Lord to direct us. We need the Lord to establish our steps. This is why I think this is such a great verse, you know, not just for young people long ago, not just for graduates in May and June to hear these verses, but Solomon speaks a lot of good parables. A lot of good proverbs for truths for today. And as I was looking up in Haley's Bible handbook, it says a proverb is a short, pithy, axiomatic saying, the life of which antithesis or comparison. They are unconnected, designed primarily for the young, a form of teaching, repetition of practical thoughts in form that would stick in mind. Proverbs chapter 16 is about the better way of life through serving the Lord. The better way of life through serving the Lord. Solomon knew a lot about life and God's blessing and how to serve. And so when we make plans without consideration of God's word, when we make plans without thinking about His will or His ways, we really set ourselves up for failure. They say in the business world, no plan is a plan for failure. And so we want to, as individuals, as families, as a congregation, and as a country, we want to make plans, but we need the Lord to establish those plans. We need the Lord to direct us in those steps. The Bible gives us some examples of men, verses that have made plans. They have devised up plans. And I want to share with you five examples of presumptuous plans that men have made over the years. The first one we see is in Genesis, and the men after the flood. Chapter 11, verse 4, it says, and they come and build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. We know this is the Tower of Babel, and they had planned to to build a tower so high that it would reach up into the heavens. Architects today like to make tall buildings and like to make a name for themselves. But we know that sometimes pride goeth before a fall. Charles Stanley said, "God always opposes pride whenever it raises its head. If we want to advance in God's kingdom, we must not strive to make a name for ourselves, but rather humble ourselves before the Lord." Don't we often see people get into trouble when they let pride or greed or our power corrupt even the best laid plans? Oftentimes end in ruin. The second verse comes again from Proverbs. It's about the natural man. Proverbs 19:21, it says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." As I shared the verse I was thinking about, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You know, there was one time when there was some good counsel given, and that was Gamaliel. The council had arrested Peter and the apostles in Acts 5, and they were a little bit distraught. What are we going to do with these guys? They're out there preaching about Jesus, and how can we silence them? And they were trying to devise a plan to somehow squash this new way. And Gamaliel said this. He said, "Refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is a God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." It was good advice. Not to rely on the natural, not to miss the spiritual. Seek God in His word, in His will, asking the Lord to direct our steps, being open to change in direction or timing or path. His timing is not always our timing. We want it done now. But the Lord is eternal. And so we want to wait on His timing. I often think about how I ended up here. The path that brought me to this ridge. And it started in 1979. And as I was out in the field raking hay, the Lord impressed upon me, I heard it as clearly as He spoke audibly, "Go." Well, here I am as a young man. Okay, go where? And Mom and Dad weren't too thrilled to hear that their only hired hand on the farm was going to leave. But they finally relented and said, "Well, if you feel that you need to, then okay." I wanted their blessing. But I remember packing up my silver Mustang, and driving off with a few things, headed to New Windsor, Maryland, somewhere I didn't know where. Where I would end up, I didn't know. But I was joining Brethren Volunteer Service. And our church has that you can give a year or 2 years of service to the church. And so that is where I was headed. And after a time of training, we had 4 weeks together, wonderful opportunity to share together with about 35 other individuals. It came time for decision time to decide where we were going to go. And they had various projects that we could look at. And so I was looking at two projects. One was in Western Pennsylvania, the youth director, and that's what I thought I wanted to do. And the other possibility was Indianapolis, Indiana. It was a street ministry that was working with kids off the street there. And so I was praying, "Lord, send me where you want me to go." And the morning, of course, being W, I was one of the last ones to be placed. And met with the director, and she said, "Well, first I need to tell you that the job in Western Pennsylvania is no longer open. They filled that position." And I thought, oh no, Indianapolis, here I come. With little country boy into the big city. And then she said, "However, I just got a call from Frederick, Maryland. And the pastor there was interested in a youth minister. Would you be interested?" And I said, yeah. And so I picked up the phone and called Jim Floor, and we talked, and we decided at that moment that I was going to be in Maryland. That's how the Lord can direct your steps. I've had a tremendous sense of peace and blessing about that. And you know, if it wouldn't have been directing my steps into Maryland, I wouldn't have met Pat and her wife. And all of this wouldn't have led me here. How my life would have been so much different had I not listened to the Lord to go, if I had stayed. How different my life would have been if I had been bullheaded and said, no, I'm going to go on to Indianapolis. Things might have been okay there, but I had a tremendous sense of peace that God wanted me here. And that is how oftentimes when we allow Him to direct our paths. Another verse that we find in the scriptures is the luxurious king mentioned in Jeremiah. And this is what it says here. It says, woe unto him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work, who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers and cut out windows for it, and paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Leaders often like to make things better for themselves, bigger, more comfortable. Who do you know that got a bigger house, started a new business, won the lottery, and then a little bit later it was all gone? You didn't have the ability to manage it or handle it in any way. Oftentimes leaders don't know how to handle things, how to run a country, how to do things that are good for others. The New Testament talks about this in Luke 12. Jesus told a parable once about a rich fool. And he said, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And I will store all my crops and my goods. Unfortunately, in that parable, God said that he was a fool because that night his soul would be required and his riches would be fleeting. True satisfaction, Dr. Stanley says, in life flows out of fulfilling the purpose for which we are created, to enjoy an intimate relationship with God, and as a substitute for God, acquiring material excess only makes the heart feel more hollow. The more that we get, the more that we hang on to, it makes us feel more hollow. We also see in James, the venturous businessman, there it says, come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Don't boast about tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. The plans that we make today may be changed. They're not guaranteed, but we want the Lord to establish our steps. How can you walk in godly steps? How can you be directed by the Lord? How can you follow the right path? I think there's several things that we can look out for, and the first is to watch out for pride. Pride goeth before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, Proverbs tells us. And we know that Lucifer fell from heaven because of it. The men of Babel here saw their efforts to build a tower destroyed, ruined. Pride will do that, and it will do it to you too. Pride is one of the few things that God says in His Word that He hates. That's a pretty strong word. God hates pride. And so, watch out for pride. If you want to walk godly before Him, watch out for pride. Now, it's good to say that I'm really pleased with so-and-so. And parents get a chance to do this. This week we found out that Ethan was on the dean's list at FCC. And it was a little bit of a surprise. He's worked full-time, gone to school, and got on the dean's list. And that was quite an accomplishment for him. And so we want to say, well, we're proud of you as you've done your children and your grandchildren. But we're pleased that you have done so well. Secondly, to be in God's word and to obey his commands. Like David, like Nehemiah, like Josiah, be men and women who have a heart for God, have a heart after God. You know, we on this side of the cross have so many resources today to be in the Word, to be reading it, to know it, to hear it, to understand it. We can just pull our cell phones out and listen to the Word. There are so many ways that we can be in God's Word, and so we want to be taking advantage of that. The technology today is just amazing, and we can use that for the good. It is often how the Lord will direct our steps. You know, we might be reading in the verses, and we might have read this chapter, this verse many times, but today, for some reason, it just kind of leaps off the page. The Holy Spirit highlights that for us and speaks a word that's a manna to us. Like God brought manna years ago. We're reading a verse and all of a sudden, that's what I need. That's what I need for today. This is God's word for us. It's important for us to pay attention to God's word. You know, there was a man that lived years ago. His name was Matthew Murray. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but he was the father of oceanography, and he discovered the paths of the sea. And he discovered that because he looked in Psalms 8:8. He saw there that there were paths in the sea, and then he realized and discovered and became a man of science and was known as the founder of the paths that are in the sea. And this is what he said. He said, I have been blamed by men of science, both in this country and in England, for quoting the Bible in confirmation of the doctrines of physical geography. The Bible, they say, was not written for scientific purposes and is therefore no authority in matters of science. I beg pardon. The Bible is authority for everything it touches. As a child, his mother taught him the Psalms in home, and he continued to think about those, and as he began schooling, and he had a lifelong commitment to creation. And Murray realized that the Holy Bible was perfect in whatever it taught, including being authoritative, relative, and accurate in scientific matters. And these are some of the things that he gleaned from the scriptures. The Gulf Stream washes nutrients into the Gulf of Mexico, into the North Atlantic, benefiting whales and seabirds and other ocean creatures. And this illustrates the spiritual principle that God provided provides care for his animals, and we find several verses in the scriptures about that. The general system of atmospheric circulation is referred to in Ecclesiastes 1:6, and the water cycle is mentioned in Ecclesiastes 1:7. Atmospheric pressure is a geophysical reality mentioned in Job 28:20-25 when it talks about the weight of the wind. And Murray's most famous scripture here is Psalms 88, the paths of the sea. And he said this, he said, as a student of physical geography, I regard earth, sea, air, and water as parts of a machine, pieces of mechanisms not made with hands. And when, after patient research, I am led to the discovery of one of those mechanisms, I feel, with the astronomer of old, Johannes Kepler, as though I had thought one of God's thoughts, and tremble. Thus, as we progress with our science, we are permitted now and then to point out here and there in the physical machinery of the earth a design of the great architect when he planned it all. To think God's thoughts after him This is what we do when we meditate and we're in God's Word and we're able to learn and to think as God thinks. To think some of the thoughts after Him, and He shows us amazing things in our world. We are to, third, listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen and to seek godly counsel. You know, as we meditate on the Word and as we allow the Holy Spirit to affirm in our hearts, we're confirmed the Spirit's leading in our lives. It helps us to grow as a Christian, and we can seek out godly counsel. You know, it's just not all depends upon you. The brethren started as a group who gathered around the Word and studied the Word, and together they sought what it meant and how it applied to their lives. And that led them to a public baptism in the Ada River in 1708, which was really against the law, because in that realm they believed in infant baptism, and you became a member of the church as an infant, and to be rebaptized was considered against the law. But as they sat around and discussed the scriptures and meditated on the scriptures, they realized that it needed to be an adult decision. They needed to have that for themselves, and so they then led into the waters of baptism. The Holy Spirit will bring things to mind, and so it's helpful to have a brother or sister that we can talk with. So think about who in your lives you would consider a godly person. And when we have a question, we're not exactly sure which way to go. Sometimes we can ask them, what do you think about this? How do you feel about this? Another thing we can do is ask God for the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ. You know, in the area of our soul is the mind, will, and the emotions. And the mind plays a dominant role in how we act and how we behave. It says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the heart thinks. As we thinketh in our heart, that is how we act. And so if we believe a lie, we're going to act on that. Paul writes that we can have the mind of Christ. We are in Him and He is in us. And so we can ask God for the mind of Christ and recognize that as we do so, that opposes pride. We're really asking God for humility. God, I don't know what to do in this situation. Would you show me? That's a humble prayer. God, would you help me that I might take the right steps? And then, you know, we have to kind of do one of these kind of numbers. We're not exactly sure, but we're stepping out, and then He might direct us in this way. But we have a plan and a purpose, and we go to step out, and it might be that He directs us a little bit this way. But He adjusts our steps so they fit His plan and His will and His purpose. And so we want to pray for the mind of Christ and to pray for wisdom and direction, individually and collectively. Earnestly seek not for a blessing, but for clarity. Clarity to act. So often we will make our plans. We will begin our plans and we'll ask God, God, would you bless this? We plan to do this, Lord, would you bless it? Instead, we should say, the Lord, if you're willing, would you direct our steps? If you're willing, would you establish our steps? We want to follow your ways. We want to do your will. Let God direct you. I'm sure probably most of us have some questions about where to go from here. Some of you are a little further down the path and you're looking back and you see your life and you've come this far and now what? Might be some hard decisions to make. Lord, what's your plans for me? I trust you. I'm going to trust you I'm going to trust you with my life. I have so far. Why not the rest of the way? I trust you, Lord, with my family. They might need a little help. I trust you, Lord, with our church. What's the future of this congregation? I trust you with our country. Lord, what a mess we are in. We need direction. We need wisdom. We need godly leaders. Lord, would you establish our steps? Lord, would you direct us? What path are you following? And how has it been going? Is God directing you? What do we need to turn things around here? Are we really seeking God and His will? Jesus said an important thing. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way. We might not know which way, but we know the way, right? We know who is the way. And He said that His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And so as we're in His word, He illuminates the path that we need to take. What path are you following? I remember as a teenager at Camp Ader near Fairfield, Pennsylvania, we had decided to go to Vesper Hill for worship service and watch the sun go down. And it was a little bit exciting for a bunch of teenagers, young teens on a path through the woods. The trees weren't really clearly marked, and so I was just paying attention to follow the person in front of me. And it was fine getting there, and a beautiful sunset, and had a wonderful worship of singing together there and on the mountainside. And it got dark, and we decided it was time to head back. It was a whole lot different in the dark, even with flashlights. The path wasn't very clearly seen, and I was just thankful to have our counselor, who had been down that path a number of times and knew the way. And so we took hands and we followed each other until we got down the mountainside. Godly steps and godly paths sometimes need guidance. And Jesus is the way. And He has sent His helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us if we're willing to grab hold and to follow Him. All we have to do is look in the book. Look in the book and ask God to bless it. Ask God to help us follow His way. If you're here today and you're not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to urge you to receive Him. We probably have some difficult paths to follow in the days ahead. And I think we're only going to be able to do that if we're hanging on to Him. It says that wide is the path and narrow is the street, the road to salvation. Wide is the path. That indicates that many people are going to miss the right road. Many people are going to be on the wrong path. Many people are going to end up in destruction and not have eternal life. The life that God wants to give to us is abundant and eternal and free. And we can receive that life through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you will follow God, that you will have godly steps, that your path would be clear, and that He would lead us in the way that He would have us to go. Godly steps and godly plans, let the Lord establish them. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. God, the plans of our hearts and our minds need your direction. Guide us, O great Jehovah. Help us, Lord, to walk in your paths. Lead us in the narrow way to eternal life. And we ask you to do so for your glory. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We pray you would impress them upon our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. We will close our service by singing our hymn here, number 402. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and love of the Father and Holy Spirit's comfort and fellowship be with you all. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Have a happy 4th of July.